Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Super seamless. I mean, you want to talk about getting the bugs worked out. Early catch, because this would have spelled disaster. Organic reset, Jeff, on the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast, like that first part never happened. June 11th. Still don't know what the word sultry means, but we're here on a Thursday. June 11th, Mama Soy's birthday, and as I kind of teased earlier, she is a great pursuer of the American dream with the home sales, Jeff. You know that all too well. Mm-hmm. We're here, and we're back, and we've got the kinks worked out, Jeff.
Yeah, excited. Sultry, hot, or humid? So
I nailed it.
You hit it right on the head there. with the sultry call out early in the pod. Love that. It is hot out here, let me tell you. It is. Normally it's like a June gloom. No, it's June, just sweat your face off because it's 94 degrees every day. But yeah, shout out to Mama Soyce, the realtor's realtor, I'd say. You know, just a true grinder in every sense of the word. Slanging them homes. Gotta love it. Shout out Mama Soyce. And shout out to the listeners from all over these weird countries we've never heard of. Well, most of all, I'm excited to be here with you, my friend. We got the kinks out, and the quality's high, so we got to step our game up.
We do, and you said so it's 8:15 in California right now. Is it 94 right now?
It's currently 75. It's going to get up to 91 here today.
Oh, so it's 75 degrees. Oh, boy. Right now it is 79 here, but this is the kicker. Like, when you get to the sultry, right, it says on the app, well, right now it says 81. It feels like 86. That's not a good feels like, because that means it's humid. It's got the sweaty. Like, you said sweat your face off at one point. I don't remember if that part recorded or not, but it is. That's what it is right now. I've got the AC kicked on, lounging with the fan on in the room. June gloom. I think it's more like June doom, because the Disney song March, May, April, June madness is about to come to an end. So I think the weather gods are kind of making us pay for how long this Disney tournament's gone on. But we're nearing the end of it, Jeff. I hope it's bittersweet for you.
It is. It is. I did my research this morning in the car, listened to both songs two times.
Mm.
But that's a little tease, Will. We got a lot of stuff going on in this show. Let's talk TV off the top. We're getting into the culture. Fargo, you know, everyone knows the movie, but do most people know the TV show? You've been watching it, Will. What are your thoughts on it?
So it came out 5 or 6 years ago. It was a huge hit. And it's one of these shows that's not on Netflix. It's not on Amazon. It's actually on Hulu.
Ooh, who knew?
Yeah, so who knew? Hulu. So I have Hulu thanks to Spotify, a little combo pack. And it is a very strange show. It's definitely got that movie vibe. The reason I like it, let me just go rough top here. I love the accents of these Minnesota people. You know, they always say, you know, oh no, I can't really, you know, that's it, that's my accent right there.
Clip that.
They got the North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota accents. Really nice. It's really fun. But it's very, I don't want to say boring, because, like, it's not. I'm just, bear with me here. I was talking with Ashley the other night, and she's watching it, like, begrudgingly. And I think I figured it out. There's no, like, ambient noise or music.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's literally just people having a conversation with no background noise, no music, and that's it. And then, you know, the conversation will end and something will happen, whether it's crazy or not, and you're just like, it just doesn't really draw you in.
Huh.
But Billy Bob Thornton is, like, the star of this first season. He is, I think, the bad guy. I'm, like, 4 or 5 episodes in. And I'm sticking through it because it's like Breaking Bad. I hate Breaking Bad. Come at me all you want. Yeah, I think it's the most overrated television show of all time.
Hottest take, maybe of all time.
Yeah, I think we've gone over this millions of times, but people kept telling me, you know, season 4, it gets good, trust me. Season 4 is when it gets good. So I had to watch, you know, 30 hours of television to get to season 4. But I stuck with it, and yeah, season 4 was amazing. That was great, but, you know, in the end, was it worth it? I don't know. But that's why I'm sticking with Fargo. Just to kind of roll off with Fargo, I think FX as a network, is it top 3? Because I think it is.
FX? In terms of, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, dare I say, one of the most underrated in this kind of golden age of television, right? Like, the original series that they put out, they're spot on in the comedy game. They get some great dramas because they have that kind of, like, DGAF attitude. They're not churning out the Big Bang Theories, How I Met Your Mothers. Ugh. Like, the sitcoms aren't City, you know. You're getting It's Always Sunny. You're getting your Archers. You're getting kind of those off-color comedy action drama stuff that, you know, is a nice change of pace for those who don't get into the network television vibe all the time.
I think this is obviously years ago, but I think The Shield was on FX. Do you remember that show? Yep. Yeah, I want to say that was like one of the really big gritty ones, and so was Nip Tuck.
Oh yeah,
Nip Tuck was a big FX show. So yeah, they've been kind of like that dark and gritty, like DGAF attitude for a while. And yeah, like one of our favorite shows, What We Do in the Shadows. You mentioned Archer. It's Always Sunny. Yeah, they have, because they show FX on Hulu ads all the time, and they just show all the series. I'm like, Jesus, they have a lot. Louis C.K.'s show before, you know, he got Me Too'd. He had a great show. Yeah, FX, great network. So, you know, I think you might like that show, but, yeah, I don't know. A lot of talking. First episode is good, though. The first episode is really good.
Okay. It's one of those that I think I'm going to have to watch on my own. I don't think it's going to be something that I can draw Shay into the mix. So,
yeah.
Well, I'll have to give it a little taste. Right.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm searching Fargo on IMDb really quick.
Okay.
Just to see what the rating is on this show. Because I haven't looked at it yet. I'm going to say it's 9.4. Because that's how high hopes I've how high, like, how high I've heard it. It is a, 8.9. Wow. Close. That's solid.
That's really good. 96 on the old RTE, Rotten Tomatoes.
Kind of.
90% of Google users. Okay. I'm in. Let's get it.
I mean, user review from a Unique Particle on July 18th, 2019, 10 out of 10. To me, this show is as close to perfection as it gets.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. Anyway, there you go. Shout out to Fargo. All right, Jeff, what's next on the docket?
You were talking Breaking Bad. Aaron Paul, one of the main characters in the old Breaking Bad, and he stars again in this true crime thriller, Truth Be Told, Apple Plus, alongside Octavia Spencer. Let me just ask you one question. I think I know the answer already, Will. And that'll color the entire review.
I already know. I think I have a question. Hold on. Before you say it,
okay.
I'm going to get a text ready. Don't check your phone.
Okay.
So you're going to, is this a question you're asking me?
Yeah, a question.
Okay. I'm sending the text right now. Is it a yes or no question?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I sent the text. All right. Ask me the question.
Okay. Do you like the Serial podcast?
Oh, man, I was so close. Check your phone.
You wrote, do I like Aaron Paul? It's close. If I had to, like, rack and stack, like, that would be number two of if you like this show. If you like the Serial podcast and you like Aaron Paul, you'll probably like this show. If you answer no to any of the above questions, it's a hard pass for you, probably.
I'm sorry, I'm having a heart attack right now. I got the gigs right now. So Serial podcast, no, I don't like it.
All right, then you're out. I mean, it's pretty much like
so. This is in a double negative scenario where I answered no to both questions, so I might like it.
Ooh, I don't know. Two negatives equal a positive? No, I'm gonna say it's a no. It's a true crime in the mold of Serial. Aaron Paul, actually, I feel bad for him, how his character in this and how his dialogue isn't great and his development is very rushed, but he does provide some grit as it were. So I won't go too deep in it, Will. It looks like it's a hard pass from you. It's I can't argue with Fargo getting in the 90s. I mean, we're in the 70s here with Truth Be Told. So let's just leave our listeners with Fargo on FX, Hulu. I mean, the distribution platforms for that are great. Truth Be Told, an Apple Plus only offering. So if you have it, maybe check it out after you work through. I would give it Morning Show, Defending Jacob, then Truth Be Told if you had the.
You know what? I do want to keep this going. I want you to, you know, the Apple Plus review of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
Since apparently you're big into it. Now, you tease in the pre-pod, you know, would it be the last? I don't want it to be the last. I want you to rank every Apple Plus original. Is up next C, you know, the blind one? Is that coming up next or what?
It was one of those things where they did a great job in the TV, like, advertisements. They just gave you enough of that C show to be like, whoa, this looks awesome. Jason Momoa in kind of a post-apocalyptic world. And then I watched the extended trailer, and I couldn't get into it. Like, I can only suspend reality with, like, one blind person battling. Mm. Like, but they have, like, full-on Game of Thrones battles with, they're all blind. Every person is blind. And they're executing these fight sequences to, like, the perfect degree, not bumping into anyone, no mistakes. So if I were to, gosh, my computer is dying. There's in the vein of It's Always Sunny, there is a show with Mac, and it's like a comedy where he works at a video game studio.
Yeah, that looks good. So that looks good.
I am intrigued to watch that. So that should be next.
I remember seeing that. That looked good.
I will probably not be watching Servant, which is like a demonic child show. That's probably going to be a pass. So
tangent. This is 6 degrees of separation here. You mentioned Mac from It's Always Sunny.
Yep.
Dennis from It's Always Sunny is in Fargo.
Oh wow! How about that? There that. Woo! That's the best in the biz right there. Look at that. Tying it all together.
And then how we talked about FX being kind of underrated. Another underrated network, CW, there is a show called In the Dark, which I don't know if I'm sure I talked about this last year. Season 2 is up and running. I really think you need to check that out. It's definitely one of my and Ashley's favorite show to watch. Ooh. So season 2 is on right now, In the Dark. It's about a blind person. Okay. See? Okay. Again. I hate
drunkenness.
Uh-oh.
Does have the name Murphy, though, so Shay's probably in.
Yeah, and it's the blind, you know, I'm pretty sure I told you about this last year. It's great, just, you know, if you can, put it on the old docket, the old Hulu watch list. We'll get from there. Jeff, get me on these Premier League restart, and we will kind of tie it in with all soccer coming up. So what do you got?
Well, I was going to tie it with, you know, an underrated sports league, the MLS, coming back to the tournament. Let's hit the Premier League first. Coming back, we are under a week, Will. It's coming back June 17th, next Wednesday. That was a weird date in my mind to restart. I was thinking, you know, we'd do a nice Saturday, Sunday, but okay, we're going with a Wednesday start. Man City, Arsenal on that Wednesday, on a Friday banger with Tottenham versus Man U. A lot of implications in the table. It's kind of a sad and a happy, right? Like,
come on.
The Premier League.
Yes, lay down.
Yeah, Gucci, lay down, you Gucci.
wait, you heard that?
Oh, yeah, we got that.
I thought I muted. Wow, I guess I didn't mute anymore. All right, keep going.
the downside of the Premier League versus something like the MLS or the NBA or the NHL coming back is the league is already pretty much decided. It's just Liverpool's going to win. It's just a matter of playing out the rest of the season. Like, I saw their odds of not winning, and they're pretty astronomically low. They would have to have a complete meltdown. But so from that perspective, your casual sports fan who hasn't really watched the Premier League will probably be turned off. But there are battles ablaze for the Champions League and for relegation. Mm-hmm. Right now there's five teams within kind of seven points of each other. I mean,
give me them Wolves, baby.
Wolves sitting in sixth place, kind of right outside, only 5 points back from Chelsea, currently sitting in that fourth spot. Yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, Arsenal to Chelsea is a three-game gap. And actually, all the way down to someone like Burnley in 10th is only really a three-game gap from them and Chelsea. So Champions League is up. A lot of high drama, considering that, you know, third and second are almost locked in. I mean, Chelsea is two games back of Leicester. There is a lot of drama to be had, and there's not too many games left. So we're gonna get some answers here real quick. This is gonna take shape, and it, you know, for better or worse, given the circumstances, at least we're getting it back. It's gonna happen, and we'll have some resolution to this season. And talking about seasons, Will, let's kick it over to you. MLS having a tournament. I mean, might as well. Let's change things up. Let's get a little bit spicy. You know. Let's go to Orlando. Let's hit up Disney World and then go have a soccer tournament.
Yeah, all 26 clubs going to the Orlando complex area, kind of where the NBA is going to be doing it. I think the WNBA is also going to do something in Florida as well. So, and we didn't touch on this with FIFA. Can't wait for that fake FIFA crowd noise from the video games to be up there on the television screen. I'm excited for that. You said it might be distraction. I don't know. For the complaints, I'm sorry for the people watching. Can't wait for the robotic chance to kind of keep coming back. But we'll see how that works. It intrigues me. And you said for better or worse, by the way. Better. BETTOR. Get your bets in. Get the gambling in. Get the DraftKings going. But MLS is relaunching their season. I want to say, what, they had 2 weeks? They went for 2 weeks before... they got shut down because it started in March or late February. I was always kind of looking because Atlanta United, their star, I think it's Joseph Martinez, I think his name is. I forget. He tore his ACL in like the first match, and I'll be like, can he play? No, unfortunately, he is still not able to play after a torn ACL. This is gonna go until August. Group stages, and the weird thing, I think you kind of, when we were talking beforehand, you were asking, is there still a regular season? Well, what they're doing is they're doing groups, but each match is counting as like a regular season point system, which is weird. So they're saying groups, but to me it kind of sounds like divisions, like they're making more divisions than usual. And then near the end is when they're going to get to the knockout stages, and then they'll get to August 11th, which is what they're calling, by the way, the MLS is back tournament final. Doesn't really quite roll off the tongue there.
We're going to need to workshop that.
Yeah, you know, let's keep it going. But one last thing is they had to move Nashville Sporting Club, the newest, one of the newer clubs this season, because they are expanding to 30 teams by two more seasons, which is just unbelievable. They're getting moved to the Eastern Conference for this season only, just because they have an uneven amount of teams, which you also mentioned, kind of strange to have an uneven amount of Western Eastern Conference teams. But can't wait for that Charlotte club next season. Can't wait for that. Going to be super stoked. Games or matches held at 9 a.m., 8 p.m., and 10:30. I'm excited. And, of course, you can't forget the top four get to go in the CONCACAF Champions League. Can't wait for that.
Ooh, spicy.
Big matches there. But I'm excited. This is going to be great. We were big into MLS last season. We loved watching the LA teams kind of duke it out. Atlanta's been a huge hit. Minnesota was kind of like a fun watch that first season 2 years ago. MLS is back, man. And this is going to be a testament because baseball, we haven't really touched on baseball because no one has. They are really, really, I don't want to call it being slow to the gun, but they are really like struggling right now, because if baseball doesn't come back before these other sports come back, I don't think anybody's gonna watch it, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't know, it's gonna be tough.
Sipping my coffee, sorry. Another long diatribe.
The fresh grind.
Lavazza. Jeff, we talked about football. We talked about Fargo football. We talked about both kinds of football, but now we have to talk about American football, because American football might come back before baseball. Training camps might be getting underway in about a month. Preseason might be shorter, which is great. Teams are already sending, not sending home, teams are already ending their virtual off seasons. The Bears, the Saints never even had them, from what I understand. So this is kind of exciting. It's kind of getting down nitty gritty. We got a couple small news items, Jeff, both to do with running backs, and we do insert a little fantasy analysis there. Kind of a, this one, the first one is strange. Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
He wants to hold out. He must not have watched any of the last three seasons with running backs.
Yeah.
I mean, the person under him in our next news item also has to do with it. But Le'Veon Bell didn't play for a full year. Didn't get the money he wanted. Melvin Gordon didn't play for 8 games or whatever. Played under his small amount of money and then got literally no money when he went to the Broncos the next season.
Yeah.
And then the last person is Todd Gurley, who is the last big running back to sign for a whole lot of money. Played one more season with that team that he signed with before getting hurt, and now he plays for a different team. So Dalvin Cook kind of doing the strange approach here, and with no offseason, with no workouts, no, you know, no idea what shape you're in, and he wants more money. Is this a bold move? Is this going to work out, and is this going to affect you with fantasy purposes?
I mean, after the Le'Veon thing, I think it can help but affect you. You can fully understand the potential risk of drafting someone like this, especially someone who's going number 6 overall and who had a monster year. A couple strikes working against Dalvin Cook, his injury history, and Alexander Mattison kind of laying in wait there, a prospect that they like and worked him in a little bit when Dalvin Cook was, you know, taking a breather from his huge workload last year. But I think, and I heard something that the Vikings like to wait to the last minute to do things like this. So, and given the COVID, it's really, I mean, that adds a whole nother layer on top of things. So it's not great, but again, you're kind of like, if we're talking 10 million versus 13 million, like, come on, man, just take your money. It's risky to then risk the open market. I think Melvin Gordon's open market really should, you know, I think ensure that he does sign. Maybe he's not going to get the money that he wants, but I don't think he'll hold out if I had to make a bet at this point.
Well, good thing we aren't. We do have a couple Google Docs stuff, but I'm not worried about him. He doesn't have leverage. And like you said, the Vikings don't like to play that game, and they'll do whatever the hell they want to do. He right now is sitting at 6th or 7th overall in a 0.5 PPR. I expect that number to drop a little bit if this keeps on going. All things considered, is that someone you're looking at number 6 overall?
The talent is there. He did have the workload. You know, it's someone I will probably take over any of the top wide receivers. So, yes, right around that mid first round range, I would like me some Dalvin Cook. He was a great player last year.
The next one is Todd Gurley. This one was great because, like before, no workouts, no meetings. It's even hard to sign people just because you haven't been able to meet in person. Todd Gurley finally officially passed his physical. Right now, he is sitting at number 62 overall, the number 25 running back. This is your dude. We've talked about him many times. Does this kind of intrigue you and give you more confidence into where he might fit on a fantasy football team? And, of course, does Dirk Cutter even know if Todd Gurley is healthy or even on the team?
Yeah, I feel like the ADP on him has to rise now that people who are now drafting know that he's healthy, know that he's going to be a major part of this Falcons offense. The fact that the offensive coordinator may or may not be aware that he exists or is healthy. I mean, that's a story for another day. I feel like at this point he has to acknowledge his existence. At running back 25, 62 overall, I mean, give me that every day of the week and three times on Sunday. I mean, you don't even have to start him. Like, he doesn't really even have to be your flex.
Oh, here we go. Here we go again. Another classic. You don't have to play him. Oh, it's a good argument that Jeff employs every week.
I'm just saying it's a low-risk move, right? Like, you can
– yeah.
If he pans out and is an RB2, great. You have depth. You can deal him potentially. I like Todd Gurley. I think it is going to rise. I think he's going to get into that Lev Bell third round range probably when all things are said and done. A guy that you just have no idea what's going to happen, but you know he's done it before. He did it okay last year, and he's in a he's in an offense that should move the ball and score some points. So you know I'm kind of a Todd Gurley sucker given where I draft.
You are now. Here's players going around the same time. Now, do you want me to look at running backs or what? I'm going to look at wide receivers. Let's look at wide receivers going around. Okay. Would you rather have Todd Gurley or Michael Gallup?
Todd-imus Gurley.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Gallup. There's eight people on that team. This is a – I don't know how this – Todd Gurley or Darius Geis?
I mean, Darius Geis, I did draft him last year, but – and he wasn't bad when he played, but, I mean, he was definitely not Todd Gurley caliber, and he has to have even more injury concerns than Gurley, so I'm going Gurley there, easy.
So this is end of fifth round, early sixth round. Last one I'll give you, Todd Gurley, or do you go for a quarterback and take Russell Wilson? Wilson, you have to play him.
That's true. I do love Russell Wilson, but I'd probably go Gurley. You just need the depth at the position. Quarterback, someone will pop. You can find. There's about 20 quarterbacks out there that you could probably play at some point in the season. So,
I mean, I don't know. Let me see if I have this one on our list for QBs. Okay, I don't. Aaron Rodgers, like, he right now is going end of seventh round.
Wow.
You want to know who's going right next to him? Tyler Higbee. Like, there's that tight end. I mean, we talked about that last week. I mean, oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know. Aaron Rodgers or Tyler Higbee? Ugh. Position scarcity at tight end. Okay, so kind of a little tease right there. Because what we have next is one of our many little segments we like to do with fantasy. And we're going to about start coming up on predictions, by the way, now that we think football's going to be back. But it's just kind of hard to do predictions without knowing the future of the sport right now. But last year around this time, we did who would you rather have based on fantasy football mock drafts from our friends at Fantasy Football Calculator. Jeff, that website again, Fantasy Football Calculator, we used that website last year as well. You can look it on the history of our rundowns. So you can take your fantasy pros and shove it, because we've been using this website before when you've called me on it. So again, that's Fantasy Football Calculator, and it's from June 3rd to June 10th, so it's the past week of mock drafts and maybe even real drafts, I don't know, but that's just the kind of data they use. So we're going to look at players that are right next to each other. We're talking about back-to-back with positions, and I'm excited because a lot of these are pretty interesting, Jeff. You want to start us off with some quarterback talk?
Yeah. Let's go to this. I'm interested to hear your take off the top on this one. Two of the young stars of the league, the faces of the league, some would say, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, 13 and 14 overall. They are really going 13 and 14th overall in drafts right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. See, ladies and gentlemen, he's already starting.
So second-round picks for Mahomes or Lamar. I mean, my word, get those out of my face immediately. But I'm interested to hear your take. I mean, you can't go wrong with either option. Maybe not at that value, but where do you lean, Will?
So if you're looking at it here, and I'm looking at it right now, so this is what looks like people are doing. They're drafting Tyreek Hill, like it's whoever's 11th, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're taking Tyreek Hill, and then on the swing, they're taking Pat Mahomes. That's what it looks like they're doing. They're teaming up those two people. To just, get those Buco points with that stack. And what this is showing is people are taking their high-end running back or high-end wide receiver, and then they're not going to be able to pick again for another 24 picks once they pick their second-round pick. So they're snagging Mahomes or Jackson, knowing that that's probably their best player available, and they won't have a chance at one of them on the way back. If I were to pick one, I think I'm picking Mahomes. I think I'd rather have Mahomes than Lamar. Can Lamar do it a third season in a row, or at least, you know, a second full season in a row? We've seen how he's performed in the playoffs now the last 2 years, when teams kind of have gone all in on stopping him. I have faith in the Ravens coaches and everything, but I think Mahomes is just... That dude's just dynamite, dude. You know I'm a Chargers fan. I'm not the biggest Chiefs fan in the world, but Mahomes is just so freaking fun to watch. So if I have a rooting interest in him while watching him play, whether it's money or whatever, I'm going to go with Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm leaning Mahomes as well. Lamar Jackson last year, I mean, you kind of found the diamond in the rough. He was going later in drafts, and he won you some weeks. I mean, he had some 40-point weeks.
Oh, 100%.
It was insane. This year now, you're spending a second-round pick on him. And yeah, he may win you some weeks, but to your point, I don't know if I can get behind that strategy of even, you know, the Mahomes-Tyreek stack, because who are your running backs going to be? You're going to have to go running back, running back, running back.
Dude, Clyde Edwards, dude. You're just going to go Chiefs all the way.
Oh, man, just Chiefs stacks on stacks. Lamar Jackson, to your point, you brought it up, which has always been my worry. I feel like Mahomes is safer because of the talent around him, and his value is because of his decision making and his arm. And I feel like Lamar Jackson's value is from his legs, which, you know, like you said, the Ravens are smart and they'll keep mixing it up, but he reminds me a lot of another quarterback on his team, RG3, the former Subway Special, RG3. And I believe it was season 3 when he started taking the hits. And that's, I believe, when he hurt his knee for the first time. That really derailed him. Now, I'm not saying they're the same player. I mean, some of the stuff Lamar Jackson is doing was absolutely insane, making professional athletes look like high schoolers out there. But I'm saying all it takes for Lamar Jackson's value to go down is a couple hard hits. And I know that's not a reason to be off of him, but I'm definitely not spending a second-round pick, and I prefer Mahomes based on his skill set.
Now, I don't remember a good point about Robert Griffin, but when did he blow his knee out? I just don't – like, that's the thing. He blew his knee out in the game against the Seahawks. I don't remember if that was his first season or second. It must have been his first season because he went 9-6 in his first season. I'm assuming he didn't start one game. And then he blew his knee out against the Seahawks in that game in the playoffs, and that rest is history. And then he went 3-10 the next season, and then 2-5, and then flamed out after that. Went to the Browns. Remember that?
Yeah.
What a day. But yeah, I think Mahomes, and this isn't, you know, me and you are taking them in the second round. It's just either or. So here, let's go to some late quarterbacks, Jeff. The guys you were looking for, maybe not these two specifically, but now we're looking at Carson Wentz, or everyone's favorite player at the moment right now, Drew Brees. Yeah. They're going 89 and 90th overall, so it's like middle of the eighth round, maybe still too high for your liking. But which of these two quarterbacks kind of speaks to you? If you had to choose either or.
Mm-hmm. This is tough. I think I lean Drew Brees just for the weapons. And just he's going to be accurate. He's going to be able to get the ball to Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and Alvin Kamara. And I like that. I mean, Carson Wentz, maybe he definitely has a higher upside, right? He has that kind of sneaky running ability too. He's just injured, and I don't like the wide receiver or running back talent. They probably have comparable offensive lines. So I would probably lean Drew Brees. I don't think you can really go wrong in the rounds that they're being drafted. But to be honest, I like the last two, and I'd probably hold out for these last two guys. One of them really piqued my interest is a guy I'm looking at hard this year. But who would you go with?
I'm actually going to say Carson Wentz. Now, I'm not an Eagles stan by any means. I'm not a Carson Wentz guy. And I'll actually say I like the talent on the Eagles more than Drew. So let me rephrase that. I like the Eagles' overall skills, players, and offensive line more than I like the Saints' overall skill player and offensive line.
Can you give me a rundown on that?
Yeah, let's go.
Pound for pound.
The Saints, they have Michael Thomas. They have Alvin Kamara. Those are probably, I don't know if those are the first two out of the 10, because I do like Zach Ertz. So maybe Zach Ertz is third on that. But then I'm thinking the next three players are Eagles. Now, are any of those running backs? No. But I'll take Alshon Jeffrey over whoever that, you know, then Emmanuel Sanders, a 33-year-old Emmanuel Sanders. I'll take...
Injured Alshon.
That's all I can think of.
He's back, right?
I mean, they got a bunch of other random-ass wide receivers, okay? The offensive line of the Eagles is stronger than the Saints. And Drew Brees, I mean...
Taysom Hill?
You want some... I mean, he might even be quarterback at some point. You want that 5 yards per attempt? I mean, listen... We know what Drew Brees is. You just said the ceiling on Wentz is higher. That floor, I mean, what's that floor like with Brees? 10 points a game?
I mean, he's going from 10 to 20 points a game, I feel like, this year. He's not going to get you a 40-point banger that I think Wentz has the potential to do. But Wentz also hasn't made it through a season yet, right? And... can also have a couple.
He did last year, didn't he?
I thought he. I don't know. We can look it up, but he has an injury history. That's for sure.
I want to look at game logs for Drew Brees because I'm telling you right now. Last year, I mean, 8 yards per completion, 7 yards per completion, 8 yards per completion, 6 yards per completion. He had one game where he had 10 yards per completion against the Colts. That was a nice 4-touchdown banger.
Yeah.
But I mean, he went 29 for 40, 300 yards, and 5 touchdowns against the Niners. But I mean, that's 29 for 40. I mean, who knows if those touchdowns were dump offs to Kamara or not? I'm not really looking at the specifics there. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he did the same thing. He went 5-0 or 4-1 with that same exact team, doing the same thing. All his passes were behind the scrimmage. So I'm taking Carson Wentz. Hopefully he stays healthy and gives that. They also play in an awful division. I mean, if we're looking at fantasy stats, they play in a bad division. Drew Brees is going to have a big fight in that division. A lot of, you know, good comparable teams in there. And they're going to have to beat some good teams to win that division and get some points. Let's move along here. We are going pretty slow. I don't know if one of these two are one of your favorites, but Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, this is some late picks we're talking about. 11th round, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, 110, 111 overall.
Last year, Philip Rivers was my 11th round boy, and this year, Matthew Stafford is going to be my 11th round boy. And this is the cheesiest small sample size argument that I hate, but I mean, his pace when he was playing was top 10 level. And we've seen him be top 10. He has some talent. Granted, you know, not great, but he's got Kenny Galladay, who's an awesome wide receiver. I don't know if you've seen where his ADP is. It's kind of insane.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But I'm going Matthew Stafford. I mean, he's free. So, you maybe get him in Carson Wentz, or if someone else is really late too, you get two of those guys and you just play them. I think especially in the ship, there's been a lot of people drafting multiple quarterbacks. So maybe you go like a Stafford and one of the rookies and just see kind of how it works out. And, you know, if one of them doesn't play out, you drop them and you pick up something else. So I like Stafford. Tom Brady, I mean, he's like a lower Drew Brees. I mean, it's all about the surrounding talent with him. But, yeah, I think Matthew Stafford has a higher upside, can push that ball down the field still to top wideout. I'm not on the Tom Brady, but he was pretty good last year, right? I'm trying to remember how he performed last year.
Actually, kind of was. Now this is where I would get your Drew Brees argument. Now this is the one where I was like, okay, Matthew Stafford, arm talent, great pace, can sling it wherever, pretty underrated in terms of quarterback. Tom Brady, though, has that lower upside maybe, but his talent is unreal. He's got amazing wide receivers. He's got a lot of tight ends. He's got a white tight end. He's got two white tight ends. Oh, my God. I mean, it's a dream come true for him. Yeah. His running backs are whatever. But Tom Brady's got all that talent there. So that's kind of like the thing, right? Do you take Tom Brady hoping he turns into someone really, really good and then pair him with someone kind of like Josh Allen or something and just kind of go crazy and just try to get a diamond out of those two? I don't know who I would pick. I think Stafford's burned me in the past a lot. So he's kind of like a kryptonite for me. I don't think I'm going to take either, but I think if I did take one, I think I would take Tom Brady just for fun.
Yeah. No, I think, but this is the tier. This is just shows how deep quarterback is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're really going to spend a second round pick on, I get it, a generational talent in Mahomes when you could get Matthew Stafford. And, you know, this is, I think you're just going to hate me when I start saying this all the time for free in the 11th round.
Or Tom
Brady, right? You're not going to have the upside, but you're not going to have to worry about the position probably.
You're just going to have to hope that week to week, you know, fantasy game to fantasy game, it's a 4-point difference, right? Like, would you rather spend a second round pick on Mahomes? Do you get 26 points a week or you get 21 or 22 points a week from Stafford? Yeah. That's what you're hoping, right? Because then that's a total awesome. That's a wash. Like, how in not many games you're wishing you had those 4 points when you ended up spending it on Nick Chubb, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's kind of what you think about. Running back, I think I want to skip the first one just because it's Derrick Henry. It's Dalvin Cook. We kind of touched on Dalvin Cook earlier. Rapid fire, who would you want, Derrick Henry or Dalvin Cook?
Dalvin Cook.
Ooh. How about Derrick Henry or DeMarco Murray?
DeMarco. Okay.
Gotcha. All right, I like this. We can touch on the second one if you want, but the third one I want to talk about here, this one, unreal. This is unreal. Le'Veon Bell or Kenyon Drake, 28th overall.
Ooh, man. Kenyon Drake, kind of the one-year wonder. Le'Veon Bell, he who has burned us many times. Can I say neither? I guess Kenyon Drake. Ugh, God. This is just how shallow running back is. These guys are going, you know, third round. I'll say Kenyon Drake. That offense is probably going to be better, more opportunities. Still a lot of question marks around the Jets, so I'll lean Kenyon Drake here, even though I think Le'Veon Bell is probably the better running back when he was in his prime and getting things going.
Wait, you said Kenyon Drake?
Yep.
You know, I wasn't sure where you were going with that. I know you said neither, but oh, man. I'm taking Le'Veon Bell. I don't think I can. It's Kenyon Drake, you know, he was on pace if you played the full season for a million fantasy points, but I don't think he's going to hold on that pace. So I think I'm going Le'Veon Bell. Just the Jets should be better, right?
I don't know. I don't think so.
They should be. Do you want to move on to wide receivers? Do you want to hit that second running back?
You know what? I take it back. I'm taking Le'Veon. I'm looking at his fantasy points. He's averaging, you know, most weeks he was getting you around 10. He didn't have any huge games. And I forget what the stat was. Like, he didn't have any runs over 20 yards or something like
over
that.
Over 20 yards, yeah.
That was, like, the big thing. And so that probably has to... He at least has to get one or two of those, you'd think.
Well, it can't go down.
It can't go down. So it can only go up. So, yeah, I'll probably go Le'Veon, right? He's going to be your RB2. If not, yeah, he's definitely going to be your RB2. And if that's putting up, you know, 10 to 12 points a week, that's perfectly fine by me. With the upside to get. So I rescind my Kenyon Drake.
Oh, wow. Wide receivers here. Let's just... Again, so these top ones, let's just do quick fire because obviously 10th or 11th overall, you're not going to have a lot of choice you know, to either pass on them or not. DeAndre Hopkins or Tyreek Hill, who would you rather have?
Tyreek Hill.
That's tough. While I start talking, I want you to bring up Tyreek Hill's points per game. Can you do that for me?
Yes.
So I think I would rather have DeAndre Hopkins because I mean, the dude's just a monster, and I think he just maybe might have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I'm not saying he can learn a lot from someone like Larry Fitzgerald, but that offense is just gonna sling it, whether or not the team is good or not. Kind of similar to the Drew Brees and the Drew Brees argument with that division. Arizona's going to score a lot of points to win those games. I don't know. They're in probably the best division in football, so they're either going to be behind a lot or just throwing in a lot to take the lead. Tyreek Hill, based on what you find, I just want to know if he was still very Will Fuller-like or if he still had a lot of 10-point games to go along with his, you know, 30-point monsoons.
He's pretty Will Fuller-like. I get what you're saying. You probably want a bit more consistency out of your wide receiver one. He had 4 games with right around 20 points or more. And then 2 games with 5 or less. So there's going to be some duds, but you remember what we always say, you only need about 7-8 wins to get you to the fantasy playoffs, and he can definitely put up for 8 games. He was nicked up a little bit last year, sat out a game. But I see what you're saying. I just think I want to get a piece of that Chiefs offense, and if he's healthy for 16 games, I think, you know, Hopkins could still potentially outscore him, but Tyreek Hill is just fun to watch. It's just fun to watch. And the Chiefs are going to be all over the TV, and you're going to want to have a piece of that on your team.
All over the TV, indeed. This next one, very interesting. You got 2 very, very, very young players going really high. When I say high, I mean early. Cortland Sutton of the Broncos really came on last year to bunch of really good games, especially one against the Chargers, or AJ Brown, the great Titans wide receiver. I had him in one league, won me a game or two. 39th overall. Yes, yeah, I know. I don't know who I'd pick. But who would Jeff pick? Cortland Sutton or AJ Brown?
Ugh.
39. That's crazy.
Yeah, see, the AJ Brown hype is insane. I mean, you loved what he did, but it doesn't seem replicable just given his yards after the catch and his average depth of target. They all were, you know, near the highest in the league. Cortland Sutton, I'm just a Drew Lock hater. Don't want any part of that offense. But he obviously can put up points too. If I had to say who's gonna do it again, man, I'll probably go AJ Brown here, but I don't love either. This is the problem with wide receiver. This is the problem.
Well, AJ Brown's going to have Tannehill the whole year, right? He didn't have Tannehill the whole year last year.
Yep.
And he just does it all. Like, he does the wide receiver end arounds. He does a screen. He goes deep. He is a player that kind of was not like a one-trick pony. Not that Cortland Sutton is. I'm just saying AJ Brown can turn a bad play into a good play. Cortland Sutton, yeah, he's got the question mark at quarterback. Are the Broncos going to be a decent team? The Titans have that well-rounded attack. They did it last year. Even if they go 9-7 like they always do, that still means they're winning some games.
Yeah.
So I think I'm taking AJ Brown there. This last one, Jeff. Gucci is just...
He did not like that. He's a big Cortland Sutton believer. Big Cortland
Sutton. You like Cortland Sutton? Oh, my God. This last one here. Maybe it's this next one, because, you know, this is a Steelers household. Terry McLaurin. I'm a big fan of him. or Juju Smith-Schuster? This question is unbelievable. 65th overall. That is round 6, 0.5 PPR. Big Ben, or, you know, Dwayne Haskins, or whoever else is on that team, the quarterback who got traded there, Kyle Allen. There you go. So Terry McLaurin or Juju. I mean, we talked a little bit about Juju last week. Whew. Who are you going with here?
This is exactly why I'm not drafting Cortland Sutton or A.J. Brown. Because, I mean, a couple rounds later, I'm having the argument of Terry McLaurin or Juju. Like, I'm taking Juju. He has the wide receiver one upside. He's got the talent. He's got Big Ben coming back. Scary Terry. I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen at the quarterback position. Juju.
But you could say that last year, right? I mean, Terry McLaurin was amazing last year with that awful team.
Looking up his stats right now, he was kind of streaky, right? He'd put up
for sure
22 one week and then give you 1.1 points the next week. So you're probably talking your wide receiver two, maybe your flex. So I would probably go a little bit more, given the depth at wide receiver. I don't know. It's an upside question. And I think Juju, just based on situation, probably has a little bit more upside than Terry McLaurin. But, you know, all things considered, Terry McLaurin, I mean, they call him Scary Terry for a reason, because he can put up 20 points on you on a team with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback. I mean, maybe Kyle Allen will make it better. But it's just a question mark right now. If I were drafting, I'd take Juju. I'd probably take Juju over, I don't know about A.J. Brown, but Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, I was going to say, come on. Don't give your secrets, because you can wait for these later players. All right, so next week we'll kind of dive into more, whether it's predictions or even pick team 1, team 2, team 3 thing. Because, yeah, it's easy to say you'll take Juju 65th overall based on upside, but what if your other receivers stink, or what if your other receivers are amazing? Would you rather, you know, risk it and take someone else? So that's what we'll do for our next one, most likely, or even some predictions. Jeff, the one you've been waiting for, this last matchup before we get to the finals for our Disney May, March, April, June, July Madness. You've done a deep dive on these songs. Go the Distance, Let It Go. Are we letting one go that we don't want to go? They both have go in the title. It's a fate that has really been seen since day one. It has been unavoidable. Your heart, I don't know if you'll be able to set your biases aside for this. We pushed it just to this week, this one matchup, because it really is just going to be the deepest of dives. I need to hear this. I need to hear your take. I need to hear your resolutions, your questions, your thought processes. Lay it on me.
It's tough. I mean, the toughest of tough at this point. Go the Distance, a song of our youth from a underrated movie of all time. This is the Cinderella story. This is your Appalachian State coming up against your Duke, your perennial powerhouse. Go the Distance, it fits so well in the movie. It's a great song. It's got a great message. But, and this is the but, it's the power, I think, of Let It Go. It's the all-consuming, sticks in your head. It resonates with many people. It's part of although some people don't enjoy it, a monster franchise, and for a monster franchise to have a killer ballad, it was almost like the ballad was there before the movie and colors people's perceptions of the movie a little bit. It's tough. I think I have to set my biases aside. I re-listened to Let It Go a couple times. I put aside the fact that I had previously listened to it an unheard amount of times, and I think I'm going Let It Go into the finals here. Weave me a web.
Wow, that was not as long as I thought we were going to go on for minutes there. No, I mean, I'm going to choose Let It Go, but I will give you this. I was doing some research, and I'm going to ask you this. This is going to prove to me how much research you did on this. And if you answer this question right, I'm willing to go the distance, and we can figure something out here. Who sings Go the Distance for the Spanish version?
Oh, my word.
This is obviously a well-known, but I wouldn't do this if it was something really random.
I'm going to, just thinking about when Hercules was, right? It was kind of, when was it? Like a late 90s. I feel like this is a Ricky Martin era. That's where I'm going. Ricky Martin.
Go the Distance. Big upset.
Oh, no.
I'm picking Go the Distance, the Ricky Martin special. Wow. You know who else sings it? Michael Bolton, the songbird of our generation. Ooh, the pop version is sang by Michael Bolton. Idina Menzel, or whatever her name is, Azel Zadim, whatever it is, I don't care. This movie's trash. Hercules is a great movie. I'm willing to make this happen. The Cinderella slipper still fits. We have an amazing final coming up. Go the Distance versus Colors of the Wind. I'm all here for it. Ricky Martin, Michael Bolton, and I'm going to listen to both those versions, and I will get back to you next week. Because Ricky Martin, mwah, I'm picking any song that is sung by that. In fact, let me just see who sings the Let It Go version in Spanish, because it's tickling my fancy now. But
no importa la distancia. That's all I'm going to say. Ricky Martin.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know what that it was a reference to, but is that the Spanish like name of it?
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
The distance is not important. You can go the distance.
I mean, listen, Demi Lovato did actually sing Let It Go at one point, but that's not, you know, that almost brings me back. But yeah, I'm taking it. And just to kind of wrap it all around, just to bring Let It Go into it real quick, did you know that Let It Go is the first song to reach the Billboard Hot 100 since? Just take a guess.
No idea. Go
the Colors distance. Of the Wind.
Oh, wow. Colors of the Wind. Come back to us.
Go the Distance beats Let It Go to make it to the finals. Now that, I believe this last one, we're going to have to get a multiple votes in for this Disney song, March Madness. And I'll do my part if you do your part, Jeff. Any final comments before we wrap this up?
I will just say I was a little confused by our setup here. I didn't know that Go the Distance was still in play. I was a little unprepared. I did my Colors of the Wind research, but Greg did call Let It Go an instant classic, but I'm happy Go the Distance. I love that song. He's making it. To your point, it's a much better movie, Hercules, one of the most underrated of all time. All right. Yeah, it's a great final. Definitely from our generation, you see it. It's not bias. It's not bias. It's true.
Oh, yeah, you don't hate to see it. You love to see it. All right, so we'll get that going by this time next week. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but we'll make it happen. We're getting the kinks. They're all getting worked out. Hopefully I edit all the kinks that happened in this episode, because there was quite a bit of a couple minutes of silence and misdirection there. And hopefully we get that sounds like a product, and you'll never even know it ever existed. So thanks for listening to the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. This is Will. That's Jeff. Have a sultry day. Peace.
Peace out.